delivered to you every morning and ready to be devoured on demand. When and where you like, it's the Harry and Dana podcast.
A massive day in the United States with the 46th president, Joe Biden, being sworn in at the inauguration. Joining us live from Washington, D.C. is Seven reporter Ash Maloney. Ash, there were concerns of riots and violence today, but it seemed to go off without a hitch.
It has, yes. I mean, this is a city surrounded by a ring of steel at the moment. The Capitol, the White House in lockdown. We spoke about those extraordinary security measures. And so far, so good. There has been no sign of trouble. And what we have seen is the resilience of American democracy on display today with this inauguration going ahead, America ushering in a new president and a new chapter for this country after four pretty tumultuous years.
Ash, I've got to ask you about the performances. Gaga, J-Lo, they were just incredible. Have a chat to us about that, please.
It was actually a really beautiful performance, and we can hear from J-Lo, Garth Brooks, singing Amazing Grace too. And, it's a real privilege to be standing here today. And, this is a new page in history for America, and it's pretty exciting.
Ash, Biden spoke of hope and bringing the nation together. How did you feel hearing those words from the new president?
Yeah, you know, he sounded really calm and measured, and obviously that is exactly what he wanted to show the American public. He has a monumental job ahead of him in uniting this very broken country right now. And he opened his address by saying, "This is America's day." He wanted this to be an inclusive address to those who voted for him and those who didn't. And there were a lot who didn't, 74 million who voted for President Trump. So he touched on the challenges, the enormous challenges awaiting his presidency, disease, joblessness and hopelessness. He spoke about the divides in this country, talking about the forces that divide us that are deep and real, white supremacy, domestic terrorism, something, you know, divisions that we saw literally explode before our very eyes on January 6th. So he has a tough job ahead of him, but he said, "My whole soul is in it." He will devote his whole entire life, as he has done to politics, now in leading this nation.
And has there been much chat on the street of the fact that Donald Trump wasn't at the inauguration?
Yes, yeah, first time in over 150 years that the outgoing president hasn't been here to witness this transfer of power. He left this morning. He did a flyover in Marine One over Washington, over the Capitol, just to check out what the stage was looking like, and then made his way down to Florida with the First Lady. He delivered some remarks. He said, "Have a nice life, everybody, and I'll be back in some form, some fashion." And I think we can all be sure that this won't be the end of the Trump story. And we have still got an impeachment trial to play out here in Washington.
Ash Maloney from 7 News, thank you so much for chatting with us and stay safe in Washington, D.C.
Lovely to chat with you guys.
Harry, you've been house-sitting, right? And
yeah.
How's that been going?
I think it's been okay. I had a couple of issues over at Peter's house. Peter, who works here, he was away with his family, and the dog is fine. That was the main...
Still alive, which
still
is
alive.
Great.
That's the main thing, I think. I had a couple of issues. But
well, you did say that you did a few things, like you spilt red wine and like food on the rug and that kind of thing. And, you know, in the spirit of honesty, I thought it would be good to get Peter on the show. He's back today. Hey, Peter.
Morning, Dana. How are you?
I'm good. How was your time away?
Look, I had a great time away, but then we had to come back home.
That's what I want to ask you about. Was there anything that was askew or not done quite right?
Let's just say Dirty Harry was the house sitter.
Peter.
The shower was left full of hair. The dog, we gave strict instructions the dog's not to be on the furniture. It's covered in black hair. Now, that's either from Harry or the dog.
We're unsure. Both very hairy creatures.
I can assure you the dog.
There's a stain on my rug, a red wine stain on the coffee table. My wife has been going ballistic, and it didn't even mow the lawn.
Sorry, Peter.
What have you got to say?
Tiny little things, but all together, my God, he's not house trained.
No, and also there's no ice cream left in the freezer. He told me that off air.
I went to have ice cream last night because we got home last night.
All right.
What happened was there is none. Like, I was not impressed.
Sorry.
Well, I know we did say to Harry, eat what's in the freezer, but I didn't mean everything.
I'm sorry, Peter.
We've now got to go shopping as well.
What's your right of reply, Harry?
Peter, my right of reply is this. The instructions were unclear.
Harry, I printed them out for you. We left them on the bench. The instructions were all there. It was simple.
In his defense, he did keep Lulu, the puppy dog, alive. So I think, Peter, it's got to be a win.
Look, that is the only bonus. The dog is still alive. Peter, I don't know how.
Will you be asking me to house sit again for you?
Look, Dirty Harry, I'm not going to be able to recommend you to anyone to house sit until you're house trained.
Well, hopefully you can get Jessica Rouse from the newsroom again, Pete.
Look, I've had Jess in the past. We've had no dramas.
Yeah.
We get Dirty Harry and it's a schmuzzle. Absolute schmuzzle.
I'm sorry, pal.
I love that new nickname for you too, Harry.
Dirty Harry.
Thanks for joining us, Pete.
Anytime you're ready to put $500 into my account, Dirty Harry, for letting me stop here for the repairs, it'll all be good.
Now, Donald Trump in his presidency has not done many things by the book and he hasn't followed many traditions, but one tradition that overnight he has followed is leaving a note for his successor. That is traditional in the White House to leave a note somewhere in the building for who you're passing over the baton to, the presidency baton. And we don't know what the note said, but he has adhered to this tradition, right? And I love the idea of passing notes or finding a note. I think it's very cliche, but it can be quite romantic or can be really sweet. I know that, like, my mum, for my dad, because he hardly ever checks his phone, used to always leave, like, notes on the bench next to his keys because he'd see them before he went to work early the next day.
That's sweet.
And I wanted to throw it out there because I think it's such a sweet thing, or it can be quite an embarrassing thing for leaving or receiving notes. So if you have received or left a note before, I'd love to hear about it. 654-11-981. You can join the show anytime because I've done this recently, Harry.
Well, I was going to say, I think you've told me about this before.
Well, I spent 2 weeks in quarantine in November to get from Melbourne to New South Wales, and I was alone in this hotel room for 2 weeks by myself. And there was one time where you get like a knock on the door each time the meal comes around. And in the corridor when we were both picking up our meals, I met the guy who was next door to me in the hotel room next door. And I had no way of communicating with him because you're not allowed to unless I was like going to do Morse code knocks on the wall. So we passed a few notes back and forth under the door. That was a bit cute.
Were they X-rated notes?
Let's just say I got his number later on.
Wow. My God, that's much better than my notes.
It didn't turn into anything, but it was really fun while it happened because you've got nothing to do in quarantine.
Yeah, well, I've kind of got a bit of PTSD over this note fiasco.
Yeah.
Because when I was in school, my mum would leave notes in my lunchbox.
Cute.
No, it wasn't. So I would forget. Every day I would forget and I would open up my lunchbox and I'd be like, oh, note. And I got teased about it.
Why? That's so sweet.
All my mates was like, oh, you're a mama's boy. And so I used to get teased. And the notes were just like, you know, packed today is a tuna and lettuce sandwich.
Oh, so they weren't even like little, I love you, have a good day.
Oh, yeah, they always used to say that. I love you, have a great day at
school.
So she's
really writing you a menu.
She was writing a menu. Yeah, no, every day. Because she'd wrap up things in foil and I didn't know what they were. So she'd say, oh, wrapped up in foil is a little muffin or something like that. So I used to get teased about that. So I haven't got great memories of notes, if I'm honest with you. But 654-11-981 is our number if you want to join the show.
Yeah, if you've ever received or passed a note, whether it's cute or embarrassing, we want to hear about it. 654-11-981. It's traditional when presidents are handing over the baton in the US from one to the next for them to leave like a note of generally encouragement to their successor. And this is one thing that Trump has done this year, despite being unconventional in so many ways. And to give you an example, in the past, George W. Bush's note to Barack Obama said that, you know, there will be trying moments, but you will have an almighty God to comfort you, a family who loves you, and a country who is pulling for you, including me. So they're really beautiful notes to tell them that, you know, they're on their side and they will be doing a great job. Because I imagine it's quite an intimidating job.
Oh, the most important job in the world. Yeah.
And it got me thinking on 654-11-981, have you sent or received a note? Because they can be quite cute and romantic and make you feel things. When I was in quarantine, I met the guy next door to me, well, in the corridor when we were both getting our food, and we started passing a few little notes under the door to get to know each other.
Cheeky notes. I wish I had better memories of notes. My mum used to leave me notes in my lunchbox, and I got teased at school about it. So thanks for that, Mum. I'm still pretty, hurt about it.
Well, let's go to Crystal from Brankston. Crystal,
let's move on.
I hope your story's better. What is your story about passing or receiving notes?
Guys, I was a note giver. Very embarrassing. This takes me back to grade six at school. I went to like grade one to grade 12 school, and I had a crush on a guy that was in grade nine.
Yeah. Ooh.
And I used to leave notes in his locker confessing how much I loved him. I'm still known for this around the school because one of the notes I wrote, I'm in grade six. My name is C space. What, like, it was really obvious what my name was, what I said.
So you were known around the school. That's a little embarrassing.
Like, even as an adult, people still talk about it.
You're kidding. No.
I've seen notes. I'm not joking.
So whatever happened to the guy? Did you stalk him on Facebook?
Well, actually, he turned into a bit of a music artist and was in a boy band that people were talking about for a while. And so he doesn't probably know who I am, but I still, every time I hear his songs or see him, I'm like, yep, that's the guy I left notes in his locker.
What's the boy band? Do we know it?
I can't even remember the name of it. It was one that, like, they were in the charts for, like, a couple of songs and now they sort of died off.
It's probably, like, Short Stack or something. They were, like, a one-hit wonder or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah. Don't worry. You'd be
like, think smaller than Short Stack. Like, it wasn't as big as Short Stack even.
You probably dodged a bullet. I'm just saying that to make you feel better.
The Big Three.
Barabba Hunters Toyota Specialist for 30 years. Singleton Toyota.
This is where we chat with our journalist from the newsroom, Jess Rouse, about the biggest three news stories of the day. Hey, Jess.
Morning, guys.
How are you this morning?
Good, good, good.
Huge day in the news.
Big day in the news.
Were you up at 4 a.m. watching the inauguration?
No, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
No, not really.
Got
up at 4 a.m, but no, I can't turn on the telly at my house because full house at the moment. Landlady, brand new dog.
Has a puppy arrived?
Puppy's arrived, yeah.
Aww.
Okay, why haven't you, isn't this something that you mentioned earlier?
Oh, I haven't had a lot of time with the puppy yet. It's very popular.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, so I haven't had a lot of time with it. It's a little miniature dachshund.
Aww.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
I was picturing like a big like Labrador or something.
No, and I didn't want to talk about puppies with you because I know you're a bird person.
Well, that doesn't mean I don't like dogs. Whoa.
Let's talk about the biggest news story going around the world at the moment. Joe Biden officially becomes the 46th president of the United States.
Yes, this is all happening over in the US at the moment. They're just, I think they've left now, but they've been at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. It's the speech that Joe Biden had at the inauguration was pretty amazing. He said some pretty fantastic stuff. I mean, he said, this is America's day. It's democracy's day. He talked about the fact there was so much to repair, so much to get through.
Yeah, this is how it went down.
This is America's day. This is democracy's day. A day of history and hope, of renewal and resolve. Through a crucible for the ages, America has been tested anew, and America has risen to the challenge. Today, we celebrate the triumph not of a candidate, but of a cause. The cause of democracy.
That's Joe Biden at his inaugural address.
So Kamala Harris has also been sworn in as the first female vice president, which is really cool. Also at the inauguration, Lady Gaga sung national anthem, which was pretty cool. J-Lo was there. They had a country singer from over in the US whose
Garth
name
Brooks.
Escapes me. That's the one.
Yeah.
He sung as well. Donald Trump is out. He's gone from the Washington. He's over in, he's in Florida.
He wasn't even there at the inauguration.
Yeah,
it's in Florida where all old people go and die. No, that's where they go. They go to Florida.
I can't believe you.
Yeah.
It's probably shacking up in a retirement village over there.
Yeah. Trump golf course.
To be honest, you know, in light of everything that's been happening in the US, hopefully this is a new chapter and America needs some leadership. So I really hope that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are that for America at the moment.
Yeah,
well,
things will turn around.
His first acts as president sees him actually undo a number of the policies of the Trump administration, including ending the construction of the wall between the Mexico and the US, stopping the travel ban from Muslim-majority countries, and rejoining the Paris Climate Accord and the World Health Organization. So,
what a breath of fresh air.
So that's his first day in office. He's doing all that. So
good on him.
Yeah.
Well, lots of damage control to be done.
Let's go to Singleton now. There's been an update on the bypass.
Yeah, so momentum keeps building on the bypass. In a joint media release yesterday from both levels of government, they said they're now seeking industry feedback on the best way to deliver the bypass. So the Australian government committed $560 million towards this last year. State government already committed $140 million. So another little step closer.
All right, excellent.
And finally, I think this is something that is really important to talk about coming up with Australia Day next week. This is interesting. Cricket Australia are dropping the Australia Day part of the name of the Big Bash on the 26th. They are just going to be calling it the 26th. Do you have details on that, Jess?
Yeah, so Cricket Australia has a National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Cricket Advisory Committee who've suggested that this happen, that they drop Australia Day from the Big Bash games that are happening on Tuesday. The advisory committee said they believe the cultural elements shouldn't be removed, so there'll still be a barefoot circle, a welcome to country and a smoking ceremony, but certainly a lot of talk about this morning. A lot of people not particularly happy about it this morning.
Well, I think you can talk about that, but you can also talk about the other side, that the 26th is a day of hurt for the First Nations people of our country. So I think that needs to be thrown into the mix as well.
So when did Cricket Australia announce this morning?
It's in the papers this morning.
It's in the papers this morning. Yeah. Okay. Jessica Rouse from the newsroom, thank you so much for updating us on the Big Three. We'll catch you at 7:30.
No worries.
Learning or trying to learn a skill as an adult is just so much harder than when you're a kid.
Oh, tell me about it.
It's like with languages, but last night I discovered it's the same thing with sport. So I went down to a training session for the first time ever AFL training session, and first time with the Muswellbrook Cats, and it was good fun. But I have to preface this with, I've never played AFL before. Like, I think I did Oz Kick with my brother once before I tapped out and I was like, nah, I'm just doing dance classes. This is not for me.
I thought everyone from Victoria had to learn AFL in school.
No.
Oh, okay.
Where did you get that idea from?
I just thought, because you guys are AFL mad in Victoria.
That's a really weird assumption.
Okay. No,
In New South Wales, you don't have to learn rugby league.
We play rugby league in school, yeah.
You don't have to.
Well, you don't have to, but you join the... Well, you have to do sport, like PDHPE class and stuff.
Yeah, well, the same in Victoria. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's
okay.
A weird assumption.
Okay.
I'm judging you. Anyway, we went down to the fields at the back of Muswellbrook. I can't for the life of me remember what it's called. And they were super lovely and super welcoming, and we did a few drills, and I genuinely learnt to kick a football for the first time.
Yeah.
But you're right, like, as Aussies... Surely we know how to kick football. I had no idea. I learned how to hold it, how not to kick it mostly.
Yeah.
But it was really, really good fun. But it's really challenging. First of all, we did all these drills. We did what a somewhat of a beep test, and that's where you like have to run a distance and then at the whistle you turn around and run again.
Yeah, like what the coppers do.
And, oh my God, I felt every slice of Christmas cake and every piece of ham that I had over the Christmas break. But I think what I loved about it most is that I didn't know this because there's not a great deal of AFL that I've watched in my life. It's a contact sport, so you get to tackle.
Is that's what you're excited about?
I reckon I could just get all my pent-up frustrations out in a match of AFL.
Okay, so you're going to be like a tornado on the field just tackling everyone.
Let me at him. Absolutely let me at him.
I don't think that's how the rules of the game goes.
I don't know the rules. Oh. As far as I know, you can tackle anything.
Okay, well, I'm definitely turning up to your first game because this is going to be hilarious. If you haven't been listening this week, we've been chatting about the cancellation of the Tamworth Country Music Festival, obviously due to COVID. We're chatting with Jordan from Singleton. She's a massive country music fan, and she suggested this.
Like, why don't you guys, because you guys have sort of, you guys have the areas to put the skills out type thing, why don't you guys try write a country song and, like, I don't know, maybe make people's spirits a bit higher.
Now, we spoke to Luke O'Shea earlier this week, and he gave some recommendations. He's a country artist himself. He'll be performing at the Golden Guitar Awards this weekend, this Saturday. Gave some recommendations of what we should do, and I've taken them very seriously, Harry. he said, really write from the heart and write about what you know. It's all about storytelling. Mm. And so I came home last night and my flatmate Jenna said that she was at work and she heard us yesterday on the radio talking about this. So she had workshopped some lyrics for us. So I spent last night workshopping country lyrics with my flatmate. Here's what she came up with.
Moving on down to Muscle Brook, gonna get myself some country chooks. It's a great, what? Great time to be alive and well, honey. I moved on down for the radio. I'm the newest host of the Brekkie Show with my mate Harry. But what a time to be.
Now, haven't
you... Well, just very quickly, yeah. Hold on. Had you guys had a couple of wines at that point?
No comment. I haven't shown all my cards. That's not my song, but I've taken inspiration from this workshop I've done with Jenna, and I've come up with... We've used some of those lyrics, and I think you're going to be absolutely blown away by my talent tomorrow.
Well, if you haven't just joined the show, we've actually got Gemma Beach, who's a local country artist, who's amazing, by the way.
Incredible, yeah.
Fantastic songwriter. She's actually decided not only to mentor us a little throughout this journey, but also be our judge tomorrow when we debut both of our songs. You obviously writing a country song mm-hmm. and me writing a country song.
Battling it out, by the way.
I have got some lyrics here that I wrote last night. These just really came from the heart.
Okay, are you going to give us a little taster?
Yeah, so mine's about, the theme of my song is about working here in the Hunter Valley in the mining industry.
Okay.
And then getting on the beers after work with the boys.
I thought you meant to write about what you know.
Well, I know about getting on the beers with the boys.
Do you know about working in the mining industry?
I've spoken to a few miners and they've let me know what it's like.
You have the softest hands of anyone I've met. I do not think you've even, like, know anything about
I didn't say that I could work in a mine. No, no, it'd be too laborious for me. however, I've got this so far. This is a working lyric.
Okay.
Working in the mine, I'm there all the time, going to get paid real fine.
Oh, that's probably true, yeah.
Yeah. Working in the mine, driving trucks and crushing rocks and driving in and out of this big old hole in the ground.
All right.
Yeah. I'm not going to see... The thing is, I'm holding my cards close to my chest. I'm not going to give away my melody just yet. That's just some of my lyrics. And I know there's a lot of boys out there in the mines that are... And a lot of girls too, that are going to know what it's like and going to be able to relate to my song. So this one's for you guys.
They might be able to relate to your lyrics, but I do not think that you can.
Probably not.
Exposed. We're doing Exposed thanks to the New South Wales Minerals Council. All through the pandemic, mining in New South Wales has kept working, which keep the community safe and the economy moving. In entertainment news, Lady Gaga and J-Lo have performed at Joe Biden's inauguration this morning. Gaga performed moments before Vice President Harris and President Biden were sworn in and was accompanied by the US Marine Band. Phenomenal performance. She has been a Biden supporter and quite vocal about it all through his candidacy. Jennifer Lopez has also performed at the event. She sang a mashup of This Land Is Your Land and America Is Beautiful.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island.
She's got a good voice. She sounds great.
What can that woman not do?
I know. And how old is she? Like 50? And she still looks great. She looks 20 years younger than me.
That's true.
Well, I'm all grey and haggard.
But they were beautiful, very powerful performances. And I love to see that there's two females up there performing. Another sort of presidential story here. This is to rapper and convicted felon Lil Wayne. He was among Donald Trump's 143 last-minute presidential pardons last night. So the five-time Grammy award-winning artist was facing up to a decade in prison for illegal possession of a firearm. And there was speculation, Harry, but despite the speculation, the Tiger King was not pardoned. He didn't receive a pardon. But Trump has up until midday tomorrow to issue his final pardons. If you don't know who the Tiger King is, it was that huge Netflix series that blew up as the pandemic started.
Yeah.
It's like a reality show about the tiger zoos in the US.
So everyone was in lockdown and this weird show on Netflix everyone was watching, like while they were in lockdown. It was so bizarre. But I heard that the Tiger King had a limousine waiting for him in jail.
Apparently he was so confident that he was getting a pardon that him and his people organised a limousine with a cage at the back to be driven up to the prison where he's being kept, and he didn't receive a pardon.
Yeah.
So how embarrassing.
Thank you for the latest in entertainment, Dana.
Career Confidential.
This is where we chat with someone with an interesting job that lives somewhere in the Hunter Valley. This morning we're chatting with Atskal Radcliffe. She's the winemaker over at Small Forest on the Golden Highway at Denman. She joins us on the line this morning. How are you doing this morning, Atskal?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you?
Really good. Now tell us, you have such an interesting story. I went down there, would have been about a month and a half ago with my parents, and you told us this story about you've come all the way from Japan originally. How did you end up in the Hunter Valley making wine?
I just want everybody to know what wonderful industry the Australian wine industry is. Because I'm from Japan, Northern Hemisphere. My vintage is totally opposite side to Australia.
Yeah.
So I start coming to Australia for vintage. My first vintage in Australia was 95. So coming to Australia every year for vintage. So my first vintage was in Victoria, South Australia, and then Western Australia and Victoria. Then I end up had a job in Upper Hunter in 99.
So you've really been all over.
A bit, just a little bit.
Yeah. So, but take us back to Japan for a moment. You were the first female winemaker there. Is that right?
Apparently so.
Yeah. How does that work? Is it a male-dominated industry? Like, how did you break into it in the first place?
Pretty much male-dominant. But I didn't mean to break that wall. I had an opportunity joining winemaking, and then somehow I was the first. Yeah, that's all. So I didn't know no female, or I didn't know the job is only for certain man job.
Yeah.
But I can say, because most of winery in Japan is very small, so what you say, winemaker, you have to do absolutely everything from crushing, everything. So obviously, it's a big job for if you are very small and then weak. You know, if you haven't got the good muscle, or if you don't,
you literally can't crush the grapes. Yeah,
yeah.
Which brings us to you and Denman now. I believe that you do all of your own winemaking. That exact same process that you had to do in Japan here. It's all you and your husband. Is that correct?
No, this is run by myself.
Oh, just so you?
Yes, so my husband's got a job. Otherwise, I can't keep doing this one, unfortunately.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, right.
So, because I imagine that it's quite a tough... I've been out to Pocolban and out to see you guys in Denman where the wineries are, and sometimes it can be difficult when you have, like, smoke or bad weather. You can't make wine that year. Is that right?
That's true, but because the wine industry is agriculture, it's a farming.
Yeah.
So every year's quality of fruits depends on season, depends on what's happened. So can't really complain. We can't really change.
Yeah.
We have to adjust how we approach to the fruits.
If you want to go out and see Atskal Radcliffe, you can at Small Forest. It's on the Golden Highway at the Denman cellar door, and you're open on the weekends. Atskal, thank you for joining us and sharing your story.
No problem. Thank you so much.
It's the Harry and Dana podcast. Stay up to date on everything Hunter Valley on our socials at 98.1 Power FM or at 98.1powerfm.com.au.